Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. It's a new year. It's a new week. And we're welcoming you to the show. Today is January 2nd, 2018. In case you fell asleep the past couple of days, this is a new year. And today I'm joined by Jennifer. Welcome to the show, Jennifer.
Thank you, Sam.
You can talk. It's okay. You're here to talk.
Oh, my gosh.
Pull the mic towards you a little bit so you're close. I should have told you that before, right?
Oh, this is comfy.
Yeah, move the thing a little closer.
Can you hear
me? That I shouldn't have done before. Sorry, folks. You know, just trying to get used to the new year, man. Are you feeling like you're ready to go back to work?
I am feeling. I'm really feeling ready for new challenges.
Yeah.
I feel like I went inward during the holiday time and just let those little twinkling lights kind of fill my spirit.
Right.
And
I know.
And I did like the spring cleaning thing, except at Christmas time, and I feng shui'd my whole house.
Oh,
and
really?
I got rid of things, and I did the whole life-changing art of tidying up. It's that book that encourages you to get rid of stuff.
Really?
And,
so that's pretty good. So you've accumulated a lot of stuff over the years. Are you a hoarder or something?
I'm a hoarder.
Really?
I'm not such a bad hoarder, but we all like stuff, right?
Yeah.
So papers accumulate, clothes accumulates. And so I just did the whole thing where I looked at everything and I was like, does this make me happy?
Right.
And if it didn't, I just got rid of it. And it feels great to have all this fresh open space and clean beginnings.
Good. Well, feng shui always works, I think. Always helps a little bit. I know nothing about it, and I don't really care. But when I look at a room, I can pretty much figure out, okay, well, maybe change it up this way or something.
Just does this feel good? Like, what would make this feel more efficient or the flow of energy a little better? I don't know anything about feng shui myself.
I don't know about energy. To me, it's just like, does it look good? Okay, fine. Let's keep it that way, you know? Some people get too deep into these things, you know? But to each his own, you know.
Yeah,
I'm feeling
makes you happy.
Yeah. They're talking about back to work blues after the holidays and stuff. And I was feeling this morning I'm not ready to come back yet. I'm like, let me sleep a little more, you know. So it's pretty common, I guess, to feel that way after the holidays. And I, but, you know, a couple more days, we'll get used to it and everything.
Yeah.
Move on, you know.
And easing into it. If you can ease into it, that's a good approach.
Right, right.
You know, and just...
Because, I love my work. I mean, I wasn't even ready for the holidays. I was still, the first few days, I was still working and working. And then I realized, okay, it's time to relax a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Because nothing was really happening. So then I did, and now I got too much into it. Now it's time to get back to work.
Oh my God.
So we're here, but if you're feeling blue, they're saying it's treatable and stuff. You know, you just have to don't dwell on work, think positive thoughts, and know most people feel they are in the same sinking boat as you. So there you go, you know.
Well, that's hopeful, isn't it?
Yeah. But, you know, a lot of people were hoping for a better year and stuff. I mean, how was 2017 for you?
You know, it's funny because a lot of people are really saying 2017 was a garbage year. And there was a lot that was challenging about it. But I find even in these like really difficult times, there are a lot of bright lights and a lot of things we learn and a lot of good things that happen. And I've been really trying to focus on the positive things that have happened. And, you know, I had a tough year for sure. But I think it sometimes when you have a tough year and it strips you down and it beats you up, it refines you, too. It's like you're like one of those rocks in a tumbler and it's just shining you up. So I feel like I got a lot out of a rough year. And I feel like I'm kind of back on track in a new way, in a humble way with myself. And so
good.
I'm grateful for the challenges. And I think there's a lot of brightness, a lot to look forward to in 2018. I was just reading in the New York Times that happiness isn't the most important thing either, that what we should really be focusing on in a new year is finding meaning. And when you find meaning in your work and in your relationships and in the things you do,
right.
that has a way of transcending and bringing you an even kind of greater sense of well-being.
That's true. I think that's very true. You know, and the thing is that I usually get irritated with people that complain about the previous year and stuff because it's like, no, I had a good year. You know, for me, it was a good year.
Yeah.
And people trash, you know, like, yeah, 2017 was terrible. Well, maybe it was for some people, you know, not for everybody. And besides, like you said, you got to look at the bright side, you know, because for me, it's like, oh, I lived through another year, you know, that's pretty cool.
It's true.
Yeah.
And so, we all grew together. I mean, you know, things have been politically divisive. It's been a tough time, but right. I think some good things are surfacing. And I'm just hopeful that we can find what's connected about all of us rather than what's different about us, and hopefully
right.
these will be less divisive times. I hope that we're all being a little more humbled and a little more open to kind of helping each other, because I think we realize
yeah.
we need each other.
No, that's true, but many people don't realize that, you know, so you have a lot of shit going on. But yeah, I mean, but otherwise, you know, I think, I mean, I'm hoping 2018 will be good, and the thing is that hoping is not enough. You just got to go out and make it a good year, you know.
Yes.
And that's the thing. If you're just, like, bouncing around, you don't know what you do, like a feather in the wind or something, you know, nothing's going to happen for you, you know.
Yeah.
You got to make your life. You got to make your plans and do them, you know. I mean, I'm not talking about resolutions and shit like that. I never believe in those, you know. But at the same time, you know, you got to do something with your life, you know. And if you haven't and feel down, it's probably because you're not actualizing yourself. You're not
yes.
doing what you should be doing.
Yes.
And so I encourage everybody to go out, do what you want. And maybe you might as well open a radio station. Everybody else and their cousin is trying to. I see on the internet. I'm like, what the hell is this, you know? But
this is a great example, though.
Right,
you having a vision and a dream and just making
yeah,
it happen.
Yeah, but they arrived late to the party, you know. We started 10 years ago. It was a different world then.
Yes.
Now everybody has a podcast at home and nobody listens because there's a million of them.
We all have a blog, you know? A podcast.
Exactly.
We're all
you
talking
know?
And nobody's listening. So maybe that's a thing for the New Year, is to listen a little more.
Exactly. And join LA Talk Radio. This is where the listeners are.
Yeah.
And don't think you're going to sit at home. People are going to listen to you, because maybe they will. But the thing is, people need to find out about you. It takes a while to build an audience and everything. And there's a million podcasts out there. You know, how are they going to find you?
Yes.
So when
yes.
you're with this station, man, we're like, we're out there. People know. People come to the station. They listen. So I'm proud of this, you know, and I'm hoping for even greater things in 2018, to stay ahead of the curve, the competition, and so forth, you know. So, yeah, you know. Also, well, on a sad note, my dad's not doing so well. He's been sick with Parkinson's and stuff, and we're thinking that it's a very short time left, you know. So I don't want to bum anybody out, but people ask me to keep him posted and stuff. So I thought I would. But, yeah, he's already bedridden and, you know, could be a matter of days.
Yeah.
Could be a matter of days. So,
is he talking or?
A little bit. But he's mumbling. But you can tell he's like, he's not like he used to be.
Do you feel like you've had a chance to just talk to him and tell him everything you want to say?
Yeah. That's the nice thing about it, is that, you know, it's like you have time before they go, you know. Whereas when it's an accident or something, or sudden death, you know, it's a shock. But at the same time, you feel like you never can say everything that you want to say, you know.
Yes.
And that, but we try to make it as comfortable for him as possible, and just hope for the best, you know. But we're starting to make plans already, because I don't know. But then my brother said he looked better this morning, so maybe he's doing well. But all I can say, folks, is be there for your parents, you know. I mean, I'm doing this not because I have to, because I want to, you know. And not everybody's like that, I understand that, but you know, when you see people going into homes and hospices and stuff, retirement homes, and they get beat up and left for dead or whatever, I can't imagine that, you know.
Yeah.
And I also salute people that actually devote their lives to caregiving to the parents. We're not doing that because we are able to get caregivers for them, for both my parents.
That's a blessing.
It is a blessing, you know, and it's another wake-up call to really save up for your retirement because you don't know where the hell you're going to be, and you don't want to be thrown somewhere.
Yes.
You know, you really don't. And plus, bring some kids. That would help if they would take care of you. It's not a sure thing, but maybe they will, you know. You never know with this generation.
We so, got to take care of each other.
Right,
even
exactly.
Even the childless, we have to find new ways to take care of ourselves and each other and,
in
our culture.
You don't think about it until, you know, you start to get old or your parents are getting very old and sick. And you realize, shit, you know, I'm going to be here one day.
I know. If you're lucky.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you're lucky. But I don't know that I want to, I don't know many people that would want to still remain around in my dad's shape, you know, because he has to have everything done for him. I can't imagine there's a lot of dignity left with that, you know.
I know. So. It's hard to imagine, though there must be something the soul gets out of being here that, you know, people do hang on for such a long time, though, and you see these.
We have that instinct to stay alive. I mean, all living things have that,
which is very interesting.
Yeah, we're fighting it and stuff, but when it's time to go, it's time to go. I just say that the way I look at it is life is a gift, and it's a temporary gift. You know, you don't get to keep it forever, but enjoy it while you have it.
Yeah.
You know, and so that was a conscious decision that I made, and I did whatever I needed to take care of myself, you know, because you have to. You really have to. And all I can say is if people are out there depressed, feeling lonely and stuff, don't let that kill you, man. I mean, you got to reach out, and there's always going to be somebody who will, you know, help you out and stuff. You just have to ask for it.
Absolutely.
So, yeah. And the reason I also brought it up is because I see a little article here in a retirement home that was shut down after an 86-year-old man was attacked by another man in the another resident there. Hmm. And, wow.
It's human nature to this.
Yeah, you know.
Aggressiveness, it doesn't always
I know.
Go
Why
away.
Do people beat up everybody? I don't understand that. You know, it's terrible.
I know. We're in so much pain, so many of us, and we just take it out in such
inflicted on other people,
ways,
right?
Silly ways.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jennifer, a little bit about you.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about you. Where are you originally from?
I grew up outside of Washington, D.C., in College Park, Maryland.
Uh-huh.
And my mom worked on Capitol Hill for a congressman who was the only vegetarian in Congress at the time, Andy Jacobs. So he was kind of my hero.
Really?
Been a vegetarian.
Why? Because he was a vegetarian?
He just was a really caring, conscientious person. He would actually return money from his budget back to the Congress every year. He was so frugal. He would eat cans of beans. I don't know how he did it. He would sleep in his office and sleep on his couch.
Really?
And because he just was so frugal, and he didn't want to misuse taxpayer dollars. So he was kind of a great hero when I was growing up.
So you become vegetarian because of it?
Kind of. I think he did influence that when I was a kid. And went to a real hippie college in Maine, in Bar Harbor, Maine, called College of the Atlantic.
Uh-huh.
They only had 250 students in Acadia.
Really?
National
the whole
Guard.
College?
The whole college.
Wow,
yeah.
So that's pretty cool. You get a lot of attention.
It was great because I grew up right outside the Beltway in College Park, Maryland, which is just like tons of people. And, you know, my high school had like 4,000 students. So it's kind of nice to go to a little teeny place. And so anyway, I focused in creative writing and psychology, and then I got a master's in organizational psychology in L.A.
Wow.
And
so you like psychology. Films.
I do. So it's interesting that you're talking about all this.
Are you going to make a career out of it eventually?
You know, it's always, I'm a filmmaker, and so I'm always interested in people and watching people and what they do and why they do it. And for me, I feel like I'm trying to help, I don't know, just help us all feel a little more connected through storytelling. You know, I often think of like, well, would I want to do a private practice, or would I want to sit one-on-one with clients? And maybe. But
not yet.
Not yet.
You're into the movies
now. I'm still into the movies.
Yeah.
I think I'll always be into the movies.
Really?
I mean,
so how did you get into that?
I think, you know, just growing up as a kid, you see Airplane and, you know, just all these movies that are so, they affect you deeply and they kind of keep you going and show you a funnier side of life. And
yeah, so, but not everybody moves on and makes movies, yeah, you know, so how did you get into that?
I don't know. I got obsessed. I don't think I even realized that real human beings made movies, because when you grow up in Maryland, you're not here in Hollywood with all the filmmakers. So I just kind of started trying to figure it out myself and got involved in the independent film scene in New York City, where I lived for 9 years.
Really? So you lived in New York?
I did. And
why did you go there?
I worked for The Onion. I don't know if you know The Onion. The newspaper. Yeah. So they started The Onion News Network, and I had been working in D.C., for the Department of Agriculture, of all things, and I was making film and video for them, and then I went to New York to work for The Onion, and then I worked for Nerve.com, which is a website that's sort of like high-minded smut. So it was like it was like if The New Yorker met Playboy kind of thing. And I worked with Lena Dunham when she was still in she was still in college, actually, at Oberlin, and I was one of the producers on her first web series called Tight Shots, which you can't find anywhere now, but it was kind of the precursor to Girls on HBO.
Yeah. And so are you a writer too?
I am.
So at The Onion, did you write?
I did write. I wrote
some
jokes.
So you wrote like comedy and things like that.
Yeah, I wrote some jokes.
I know. I love The Onion. The Onion. And I remember, in fact, they used to have, I don't know if they still do, but they used to have like radio show prep. And so there's all kinds of like things recorded and fake news and things like that, you know?
Yes. And, one of my best friends used to run Onion Radio News, Chris Karwowski, and he's just a funny, funny guy. And he just moved out to L.A. a couple of years ago. And The Onion was in New York, and they just moved back to Chicago. So a lot of people have spread out all over.
So do they have like a big audience, The Onion? It's pretty big.
Yeah,
huh?
I think they just they're a beloved news outlet.
Yeah. You know, I don't know who's got time to listen to funny news or made-up news, but it sounds good, you know?
Yeah, and sometimes it's like there's greater truth in fiction. Like the fake news, I mean, the intentional satirical fake news sometimes puts things into perspective.
That's true.
More
it's
so than
commentary,
the real news.
Yeah. Great commentary on the news. So you worked for The Onion for how long?
That was like for about just 6 months in New York, and then I worked for Nerve and worked with Lena Dunham some, and Joe Swanberg, who's another filmmaker, and then I just started making independent films. But in between, I was like an environmental journalist as well. So I worked for the Washington Post Company's website called Sprig, which was their green website, and then another news and humor website called Grist. So I've just been making videos for the internet, and then I started making indie movies, and have had a couple of movies that I acted in play at Sundance, well, actually like 4 or 5 movies.
Really?
And I've just,
toured around. How do you put a movie together? Like, what was the first time for you? Like,
I think it's an act of God, Sam.
Yeah?
It's not
no,
easy.
I'm sure you, yeah, but you took steps, right? It doesn't just happen.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I got very fortunate. I had acted in a movie called Uncle Kent. That played at Sundance. And then I met someone there named Alex Karpovsky, who was actually on the show Girls, and he said, why don't you act in this movie Red Flag? So we made a movie called Red Flag. We toured all over with that movie. So anyway, you just start acting in things and making things, and then I met a financier who saw me in something and had read a good review of Red Flag, this movie I made with Alex Karpovsky, and they said, if you have something that you want to make, bring it to us.
Really?
And so it put a fire under me, and like, 4 weeks later, I had a script that I came knocking on their door with, and they were like, okay, great, let's make it.
Wow.
So within 2 months, we were shooting this movie, and it was a low-budget movie for about like $250,000, but that was still a miracle to get that amount of money to make
it. That's how you get started, you know? And I mean, and you got a lot of creative freedom in that, too?
So much creative freedom. I mean, it was really a gift, and I learned so much. And I made the movie with a dear friend of mine, Jess Weixler, and we got to have Megan Mullally in the movie, and Will Forte and Jeffrey Tambor. So we had some really gifted, funny people do us favors and act in the movie song. And now the movie's playing on Showtime. It's called Apartment Troubles.
Oh, really?
Yeah
I was just going to ask you how we can see that
and
stuff. So
yeah, it's
and how does the distribution work? Do you have to Do you have to work to get it into Showtime and things like that? Or
it's an ever-changing target distribution, and I'm still trying to figure out what the best route is, because it's hard for filmmakers to actually make money off of their projects, because the distribution companies get involved, and then they kind of, you know, they do marketing, they put it in theaters, and then any money that the movie makes back goes to pay them back, and then the investors back. And so, I mean, and you're lucky if you get people paid back, but it's still like a... You know, so it's a constantly changing target. But like our movie went to 10 theaters across the country. It's with a distributor called Gravitas, and they're just like a smaller, more indie kind of oriented distributor. I think, you know, given the opportunity to make another movie, which hopefully I'll get the opportunity in the nearish future, because I'm writing, I'm trying to get something put out there. Hopefully, maybe I'll self-distribute even, which is a lot of work, but I think there's a lot of potential to... If you kind of put it out there yourself, you have the opportunity to maybe make more money back.
That's true, and especially in the beginning, you don't expect to make a lot of money because you're making a name for yourself. You get some experience and all that, and you know the money will follow because you'll get bigger and bigger projects and things like that. And plus, you're doing the right thing by creating your own reality, pretty much. I mean, you're doing it yourself rather than expecting other people to do it for you, you know?
Well, I expected other... You know, you walk around thinking, I'm going to get discovered in L.A. I better look good. I could get discovered at
anything. Exactly, yeah. Like LA, everybody in L.A. gets discovered, you know?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, by restaurant owners. That's what it is.
You have to discover yourself. have to discover yourself and it's more meaningful that way too, because then you're doing exactly what it is that you intend to do, rather than being governed by someone else's creative work. So it's very creatively freeing. It's a lot of pressure, but it's also really good pressure.
Right. No, absolutely. You know, I mean, I think that today it's also possible to do things your way because of technology and everything and the way things work, but before that, you could never do this, you know?
It's true.
I mean, you go back 10, 20 years ago, people couldn't make their own films, you know? It just was unheard of.
The accessibility is incredible, and it's really democratizing because it makes it possible for anyone to pick up a camera and make something, which also creates a lot of terrible movies.
Exactly. A lot of garbage, too, as you can see on the internet every day.
But it also gives us the opportunity, hopefully, to grow culturally and have more of a dialogue with each other and maybe all become slightly better storytellers. And
So that's cool. So I guess this helps you with storytelling when you understand people and psychology and things like this. You can develop characters. So when you make the movies, do you also write the script for it?
I do.
So you write the story?
Yes.
So what about Apartment Trouble? What is that about?
That's about two female friends trying to make it in New York City. We borrowed a little bit from a great British cult film called With Nail and I. We were just in love with that movie, and so we kind of wanted to make the American Girl New York City version of it. And that was kind of my life. I was trying to make it as a filmmaker and actor in New York City, and it's tough and kind of hilarious. You find yourself in these situations where you're, like, living in an illegal sublet, you know, and the landlord's trying to evict the actual tenant, and the actual tenant's not even there. I mean, it's just like, you know, you don't even have a sink in your bathroom. The whole thing's taped together with duct tape.
Oh,
because
my God.
If you're in a rent-controlled place in New York City, they don't want you there.
Right.
So they don't fix anything. So I swear the apartment I lived in the East Village on 10th Street hadn't been updated since, like, the 1880s.
Wow.
It had, like, such an old an old feeling, and it really was that old.
Wow.
So there was like an old...
See, that's why I could never live in New York City. I'm telling you, I'm so picky about these things.
Yeah.
And I've seen people live in small, like, matchboxes almost, you know?
Yeah.
The apartments are so small, and they're, like, neglected and things like that, like you're describing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, nah, I'll take L.A. any day.
It's very character building, I think. Very bohemian, but kind of... You know,
if you're willing to take it, you know. But I mean, I've seen enough of the movies to realize.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want to live there.
I
enjoy visiting New York City to no end, you know. But yeah, but I couldn't live there for the life of me, you know. And that's funny because when I moved here from Israel when I was 16 years old, I had a choice of either going to New York or to Las Vegas because that's where I had family. And I figured at 16, I better be with some family in the mm-hmm. beginning. So I had been here the previous year with my family in the United States. And I thought, New York's too big for me. I don't think I can manage New York. So I landed in Las Vegas in the 70s where I had an uncle and aunt. And I stayed there with them for a while. But the bottom line is all my family that have moved to New York from Israel became very rich. and on the West Coast, it didn't quite happen for me the same way. But I don't know that I would have been willing to do the work that they do, you know, because everybody, I have an uncle who was a locksmith early on. And in New York, locksmiths have a lot of work. So
a lot of doors.
Yeah, a lot of doors and a lot of locks. So, youngsters in the family would move out there, learn from him, open their own business, and they all are very rich.
Wow, and rich locksmiths. Yeah.
I don't know. Does it really matter? I mean, you know, they're just in New York. I don't know who they are. And they probably weren't that big, but nevertheless, you know, you have to be willing to do that, though. I would not be doing that kind of work.
Right.
I don't do manual work, you know. I mean, I'm a thinking kind of person, you know. So
it's the meaning.
And I get paid accordingly. I'm not as rich as they are. They're much younger than I am. So go figure, you know.
Well, if you could always
excuse me for the coughing today and for sounding. I mean, I blew my nose a million times this morning, but, you know, I've had this cold for over a week now.
I had a cold
Christmas.
For 2 weeks.
Really?
And I still sound kind of hoarse.
Yeah, yeah.
Some crazy stuff is going around. I had a house guest, and she got there from, she came from Texas. She arrived, immediately got sick, and just slept for 2 days straight. Just from a flight, I think she sat next to a sick person on a flight. So now's the time of year when you should just avoid traveling and stay home and use a lot of hand sanitizer, because
planes,
disgusting things are going around.
I think planes more often than not will make you sick. And you don't have to sit next to a sick person. It just, the air circulates there.
Yeah.
You know, and everybody breathes everybody's germs. And there's a lot of flu going on. I mean, you know, actually, my dad caught the flu. That's why he's so serious now.
Yeah.
You know?
And but, it's scary for people who are in sort of compromised situations, especially this time of year.
Yeah, sometimes there's no recovering from it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, your friend probably got sick on the plane, and I didn't get the flu, but I got a cold. And you know what? All this bullshit about the airborne and the Zicam and the zinc and all that stuff that is going to limit how long your cold's going to last, it's all bullshit, you know? And I knew it was. You know, I went and spent $14 on the Zicam, took it all the time. Obviously didn't work. I'm still 10 days into it.
Sometimes you just got to go through it to get
I guess so. You don't get any better from medication. It just eases the symptoms a little bit if you take, like, cough syrup or something. But all those, you know, snake oil bullshit, I'm not buying any of that.
Grapefruits. I think the answer is grapefruits. And oregano oil really seems to help, too.
Oh, really?
Yeah, or you can make, like a concoction with oregano oil, like lemon, just a little bit of, like, what's the cayenne pepper?
Yeah.
Kind of like that diet that people
do. Yeah, like what do they call it?
I don't even know.
Yeah, I'll think of it in a moment, but... it's like a liquid diet cleanse.
Yeah. But it's I think it's just hitting yourself hard with the citrus and getting the vitamin C in your system. I do think that can be a pick me up. But
that's true. Maybe I will. In fact, my parents have some citrus trees in the backyard, and we've been eating oranges and grapefruit like crazy.
What more could you want?
Yeah.
And then this is another thing I was reading for just better health in the new year, is that focusing on inflammation. Because if you think about it, inflammation is like really one of the number one reasons for most diseases or most bodily discomfort. So things like dairy cause inflammation, but you know, there are things like ginger or blueberries that are anti-inflammatory. So the more anti-inflammatories you can get in your diet in 2018, I think the better you'll feel.
Yeah.
The better we'll all feel.
Sounds good.
Fight inflammation, folks.
I'll have to heed that advice. Someone's not having a very good New Year's. Carrie Underwood, have you heard?
No, what's happening?
She apparently fell and hurt her wrist, right? But apparently there's more to the story than that. She actually hit her face and had to get 50 stitches in her face. And she says, I may not look the same as you used to see
50
me.
50 stitches in your face.
In your face, can you imagine? I wonder what she's going to look like. Is she going to have, like, scars on her face?
She really fell badly. Like, is this like an ice slip and fall kind of situation? Like, that's...
Yeah, I don't know exactly how she fell, but it was... she says, when I'm ready to get in front of the camera, I want you all to understand I might look a bit different.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah, that's scary. I wonder... I feel like a lot of celebrities have their faces insured or their image insured, but... I don't know.
Yeah, who knows what that'll do to her career, but I can't imagine it would hurt it, but...
No, hopefully not.
Yeah,
are
who
we
knows
that
what she's going
to
come out of. But she's got enough money to get good surgery, don't you think?
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think she's going to come out looking like a monster or anything. But
for her sake, we hope not. But I just was actually seeing this article about this fall prevention class that people are doing in the Netherlands. And it's like a technique to help older people not fall, because falling is one of, one of the most fatal things that can happen to people. Or you break a hip. Gosh, we're so cheery today.
Yeah, right? I mean, talk about geriatrics and everything. Why not, you know? Shit. But you know what? Eventually you have to get used to it. I mean, being around my parents so much, I know everything there is about growing old. You know, everything. And I didn't want to, but I have to.
We might as well know so we can do it gracefully.
Exactly. You know, I mean, it's unbelievable.
My aging hero, my graceful aging hero is Jane Fonda. And she just turned 80 last week.
Wow.
And I just discovered her workout videos from the 80s.
Oh, really?
And I've been doing the Jane Fonda workouts.
The aerobics?
Yes. And they're hilarious. And she's, you know, got the funny 80s outfits on and the music. But look at her. She looks amazing. She's done really well. I mean, she's gorgeous. Yeah. She, you know, she even talks about in some of her more recent videos, because she's done some in her later years, that, like, exercise, like, decreases your chance of Alzheimer's by 50%.
Really?
It helps your balance. I mean, there are all these wonderful reasons to do simple exercise every day, just for like half an hour. So I've even been doing some of her exercises for older people, and they're great. I mean, it just makes you move your body and sweat a little bit. And it's funny how, like, the aerobic workout kind of...
Yeah, I mean, that's what I used to do in the 80s, you know. I mean, I was in my 20s. I would go to aerobic workouts, and they were great because it's like dancing with music and everything, you know. And yet it's tough, you know, it's hard to do.
It is. It really kicks your ass.
Yeah.
But I mean, I can feel a difference. I feel stronger.
Really?
Yeah. It's kind of amazing. And after you do it, there's just a little bit of euphoria you feel, that's even more so than if I go for a run or something. I feel like it just really gets your blood moving to every part of your body and your brain. And
interesting. So do you work out? I mean, regularly?
I've been doing Jane Fonda workouts like 4 times a week.
Wow, for how long now?
For about a month.
Oh, okay.
I started meditating and doing it.
But
yeah, I'm new to it, but it's really been shifting things
in
a great way.
What made you decide to do that?
You know what's funny? I got sick, and I was just kind of scrolling through YouTube videos, and for some reason it seemed comforting to watch like an old Jane Fonda video, and I put it on, and it was so amusing, and I just watched it while I was lying there sick. And then I, you know, as I was feeling better, I was like, you know what, I'm gonna give that a try.
Yeah, right.
And it really makes you sweat. Wow. It really makes you feel good. So
very good. You know, I mean, I need to find something that'll get me to working out.
You know? It's nice for me.
It's
just
very important
to do something in my living room. I don't have to commute. And But, you know, to each their own, too. It's like whatever works for you. Yeah. Hiking here in Southern California is such a nice thing to do.
It is, except there's no parking. Did you ever go to Runyon Canyon or somewhere?
Oh, gosh.
Everybody goes. And you want to go and be with nature. And then you have, like, thousands of people there.
Yeah.
And there's not even a place to park your car. So I've never been successful enough to be able to get off there out of my car and actually walk.
And you don't want to Uber or Lyft to go take a hike.
Right, exactly. And you also don't want to go where there's a million people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
People go there because it's the in thing to do, you know?
Yeah, but Runyon Canyon's a place to be seen. And I prefer...
Exactly. It's like Hollywood Boulevard of nature here. You know?
Rodeo Drive.
Yeah, right?
Nature. Yeah. Griffith Park has so many little... you know, places you can disappear into, especially if you're willing to drive in and find your own.
Oh, really? I'd like that. I'd like to disappear in a park or something.
Apparently, Griffith Park is the largest park in a city in the entire world.
Really?
Yeah, it's got...
Yeah,
I mean,
it is a pretty big park.
It's huge, and you can really get lost in it in good and bad ways.
That's true, right?
It's worth, you know, checking out. There's a special spot that I like to go to called Amir's Garden, and you have to kind of drive behind the zoo, and it takes a minute to get there, but once you're there, there are very few people, and you just don't go to Runyon.
Yeah, no, don't go
unless
there.
Unless you want to see the celebrity
dog
walkers.
Some people do that, but those are the trendy people.
Mm.
Like you said, go see and be seen, you know?
Buck the trend, Sam.
Yeah, exactly.
Follow your own adventure.
But you know, working out, I remember when I used to work out a lot, the feeling is great. I mean, physically, you can't replace that feeling of feeling like you've accomplished something, your body's strong, you know, you can face things and do them, you know?
It gives you a lot more strength, I think, just for every other aspect of your life. And I don't know why I fight it so hard, too.
Right.
It's just like, I don't want to work out. Oh, God. Which is why having Jane Fonda on my TV is, like, such a gift. Which, she's on YouTube, by the way. So you can, if you want to give it a try, you can do it. Just look it up.
Yeah.
1982 Jane Fonda workout.
Well, you have to like nostalgia, I guess, right?
Who doesn't love some 80s workout attire?
That's true, right?
Such cute outfits. No, you look like you're really fit, Sam.
Whatever. Who, me?
Yeah, you're
well, maybe I look it, but it's still the remnant from 30 years ago.
Being a professional bodybuilder.
No, not at all. Not even that. Just working out normally, the aerobics, weights and stuff. But no, I don't... I'm ashamed to say that I don't do any physical activity, and that's bad. You know, I need to get started.
Well, first of all, we've got to get rid of that shame.
Right.
And second of all,
it's a shame.
Shame to feel shame. And
right.
And if you can, I mean, I try to just remind myself we're in this physical body, and as you said, everything in this life is temporary. So I just want to enjoy everything that I can while I can.
Right, and exactly. In a sick body, you're not going to enjoy very much, you know.
And you stave off sickness by just, you know, being healthy and exercising a little more.
Yeah. So. That's true.
No pressure.
And if
folks.
Jane Fonda says this, I believe it.
She's 80. Looks great. She did have a hip and knee replacement, so I do try to augment some of her routines just because I'm like, that looks a little hard on the knee, Jane. I'm not gonna bounce like that. Some 80s aerobic technology that has since evolved.
I think
we don't bounce as much.
Yeah.
In 2018.
Yeah. No. Today we do more. After the aerobics craze, then they started doing low impact aerobics. Because it was hurting a lot of people, mm-hmm. their joints and stuff.
But yeah, you can see how.
But I felt that it was the best workout. I mean, nothing less would do for me. You know, I had to feel like really exhausted and tired from it.
Mm-hmm.
But that was way back when. So you're from Maryland, and do you have any siblings?
I do. I have a brother who lives in Austin, who's a physical therapist now, and yeah, good kid.
How did he wind up in Austin?
My mom and stepdad live in Dallas. So, and they're actually en route here now in an RV with their two dogs to come visit me in the new year.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're in Palm Springs at the moment, and they're making their way to LA in their RV.
So they didn't make it for New Year's then?
No, well, because the Rose Bowl just happened, you know, so there's so many people in town from the Rose Bowl that there was no place for them to park their RV. So they're waiting for the crowds to die down, and then they're going to roll up, I think, tomorrow.
Oh, nice. How cool is it to go in an RV, right?
I was really ashamed of it at first. And then I actually went in it with them. And it is so much fun to be on the Great American Road. And it's just shocking how friendly people can be and the people that you meet in these RV parks. I mean, it's a lot of, like, you know, retired Americans who are just adventuring, and they kind of want to have a good time, and they're
a lot of sweet people.
It's pretty
fun. You know,
fun.
I mean, it's like you get to camp and party with people and
Cook out and be nomadic, and I think it's in our human nature to just explore more and to connect with each other. And so many of us live in these little individualized houses where we don't connect with our neighbors or talk to people. And so out on the road, people are, you know, they're just a lot friendlier to each other, and it's kind of it's kind of sweet.
And they have the things in common, like, you know, that they travel and, you know, they deal with the RV way of life and stuff. And that's cool, you know.
Yeah,
I was thinking it's not a bad thing to go and sell your house and then buy the best RV you can buy, you know, like a hotel on wheels.
Yes.
And just live on that so you never have to live anywhere permanently, you know. You can live anywhere. What a great way to live. I think I would love that very much.
I think it's
so
pretty
maybe we'll do that in my retirement if I ever get there, that is.
You could actually host the radio from the road. You could have one of those great tour buses.
I know.
Have
I could,
all your
right?
equipment and just broadcast from wherever you are and just make it this great travel show.
That would be cool. Definitely cool. I like cool things.
Yes.
Yeah. What about what phone? Do you have an iPhone?
Oh,
or
God,
do you have
Sam,
an Android?
I have a Samsung Galaxy J3 6B. It could catch on fire at any second.
Oh, now, really? Is that the one?
This is not the one. But it's funny because I went off the iPhone and just tried the Android thing out. It hasn't been the worst thing in the world. It hasn't certainly been quite as fun and nice as my iPhone was, but it's interesting to just go off and
Why wasn't it as much fun? What do you think the iPhone has that the Android doesn't?
It's sexier. It's got kind of, it's a little more user.
Yeah, but you're looking more at the newer versions. You know, I mean, if you had, look, like I got the latest Samsung after having been, after having been on the iPhone for 10 years, I jumped ship because I didn't want to wait for the iPhone 10. And the Samsung 8 is just, it's still better than the iPhone 10 in my opinion. So it had the curved screen long before. It had the facial ID. It's even got like iris ID. It's got like a million things. I'm really in love with this phone, and I have no desire to go back to the iPhone.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Sell me on it, because I'm looking for a phone that I can also like make a movie on.
Yeah,
you know, that the camera is so good that I could shoot something.
You know that they have those, like, I'll show you what I have. You've probably seen those, but it's like Steadicam for phones. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah,
so
like
you can shoot a film. Yeah, a gimbal, thank you. But they have it for phones, and you can shoot amazingly with it. You can run with it, and it still looks like you're just panning or something, you know?
Yeah, that's
unbelievable.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
It's a new world.
It is. So it's interesting, that you make any movie on the phone. Huh?
With my parents coming to town, I'm like, this is a great opportunity to film, because what is happening, my parents have been divorced since I was one, and my mom and stepdad are headed to town, but my dad has also been planning to come to town weirdly at the same time, because they all want to get here for my birthday, which is January 15th.
I see.
And
okay.
I have never spent an hour hanging out with my mom and dad. So I was like, this, I think I need to like kidnap my parents and force them to re-raise me and do some of the things I didn't get to do when I was a kid. I'm going to make them take me to Disneyland. Maybe we'll go to therapy. I don't know. Sky's the limit. And I just
But it's funny how kids always want their parents to get along, right?
It's weird.
Even when you don't remember them being together.
And even if they're terrible together, there's like this parent trap thing where you just, there's something that makes you want your parents to be together, even if it's just for a day.
Yeah.
Just for a day. I mean, it could end up being a nightmare, but I feel like I need to, like, do it and film them and see what happens.
Wow, that'll be cool. So you can make a lot of films like that.
Exactly.
You know, with your family.
A lot of home movies.
Yeah, hey, Mom, do you want to start my movie?
I know. I just want to.
It's funny.
Well, how often do you get a chance to just sit someone down and say, how am I doing? How am I? Let's do a customer service review here. How's it going? What do you think? What are areas of improvement? Let's just talk about it. Let's just put it out there. And maybe, I don't know, it could be a dangerous thing to do, or maybe it'll help our relationship.
Yeah, right? So give you some feedback, immediate feedback.
How's my driving? So that's coming up. So I got to find out more about your phone, because maybe I've been looking at the iPhone 8 as a possibility to film with. But
Yeah. But maybe that would work just fine. Yeah. But why would you get that if you can get the iPhone 10? It only costs a little more, you know, but I mean, if you pay monthly and all that, it's like $3-5 difference a month. So it's not a big deal, especially if you're going to shoot a movie, you know. Right. But I don't see what you can do with the iPhone you can't do with the latest Samsung, and for less money. Also, what I realized about the Android, I mean, look at me. I've been promoting the Android since I bought it. But the bottom line is that, you know, with Apple, you're in a closed ecosystem. They censor stuff for you. They protect you. They're your nanny. And I'm not interested in that. You know, Google will have anything on their Google Play Store. And, there's so much more customization to the phone, too.
Yes.
You know, so we'll see. But some people love Apple. I mean, there's nothing. There's no doubt the iPhone is classy. It's all that. But if you pick up the Samsung S8, I think it's even sexier. It's made of glass, and it's very cool. So there you go. That's my two cents about phones. I did want to bring up, though, that, you know, talking about Apple, that I guess this whole fiasco now with their batteries going. What happened is apparently people have been noticing their phones are slower when a new model comes out or when a new OS comes out, an upgrade or something.
Yeah.
And what Apple says is that it actually slowed down the processor so the battery won't run as much. Won't run out as fast when you upgrade your phone, because the latest OSs might need a faster phone and all that stuff. So that's their
planned obsolescence.
Right,
really,
exactly.
It's just the way of forcing you to upgrade. And I have a friend who's just kind of making ends meet as an actor in L.A. and driving for Lyft and Uber, and he's got like an iPhone 4. I mean, but he's using it to take people on these rides around town, and he uses the GPS on his phone, and it's going so slow that he started having to use a real map in his lap. And I was like, you better not have people see you using a real map in your lap. They'll get nervous. But the phones have slowed down so much that you can't. I mean, especially an iPhone 4. I don't know how he's still using it, but
I know.
But I mean, it's like impossible to get a direction on it. But anyway, I mean, that is a little bit my issue with Apple, is that the idea that a company is kind of, you know, basically shutting down their old things. Like I upgraded my operating system on my computer, and now I can't use my editing software, Final Cut Pro.
Oh, wow,
because
really?
It was Final Cut 7, which all the indie filmmakers, I think, still use, because it was sort of the best version. It was better than X, and it just worked better. And now that I'm in the current operating system, it just made it stop working.
Really?
So I went to the Apple store, and they were like, well, you know, we can scale you back a few updates so that your program will still work. But it's just frustrating that, like, you spend thousands of dollars on software and then they make it obsolete when they decide
that's unbelievable,
to make it obsolete.
Right?
Make them mad, Sam.
Yeah, I know. So Apple decided they're going to offer replacement batteries for $29 instead of $79.
Well, that's good.
Like, people are supposed to be happy about that. But
that's
what I'm saying. I'm out of their clutches for now.
Yeah.
So I'm good, you know?
There's a little Big Brother thing about it that I don't love.
Yeah, I know.
They make sexy stuff, but I don't need people slowing down my speed.
Yeah, right? And if it works, it works.
Yeah.
Well, we're just about out of time. Jennifer, do you want people to be able to find you on social media, anything? Do you want to give out names at all?
LuckyPrediger.com, Jennifer Prediger. It's Prediger. And the movie that I have on Showtime is called Apartment Troubles.
There you go.
Yeah.
So Prediger is the last name?
Prediger, yes.
You got it. Okay, so you guys can look for over there. Jennifer, thank you so much for joining.
Thanks for
having
me.
It was an amazing show. I really appreciate you joining me on the first show of the year.
Oh, my gosh. What a lucky thing. Happy New Year to you, Sam, and to all of your wonderful listeners.
Thank you very much. And everybody, thank you all for listening. And stay tuned the rest of the week and beyond. Take care.
Listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.